the Holy Spirit, the one baptism, the anointing, personal and practical, by A.S. Copley. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. Isaiah 44, verse 3. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Acts 1, verse 5. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 2, verse 4. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Acts 8, verse 17. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of the body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For in one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether bond or free, and were all made to drink of one Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13, Revised Version. Before us lies a most glorious theme. For over half a century, the writer has been studying the Word about the Holy Spirit with increasing vision and bounding delight. He yearns to put the reader on the trail of tracing out the whole truth about Him who has come as the guide into all the truth. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. John 16, verse 13. The Old Testament. In man's personal experience, the Holy Spirit was variously symbolized in the Old Testament by water, oil, and the dove. Symbols of the Holy Spirit, water and oil. Water and oil are the special symbols, the oil being the more common symbol. God said, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. Isaiah 44, 3. In 1 Samuel 16, 13, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Priests, prophets, and kings were anointed with oil in symbol of God anointing them with the Holy Spirit. For example, Thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. Exodus 30, verse 30. God instructed Elijah, And Elisha shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. 1 Kings 19:16. All the anointings with oil and all the personal experiences of the Spirit's presence and power recorded in the Old Testament were foreshadowings of the anointings of Jesus and his people. The dove. The dove is also a beautiful and precious symbol of the Holy Spirit. Her presence is intimated in Genesis 1, verse 2, where we read, The Spirit of God moved, literally brooded or fluttered upon the face of the waters. Also in Noah's Ark, the dove was a symbol of the Holy Spirit. From the beginning until Christ came, the Spirit of God came only upon individuals. He found no resting place for his feet. That is, he was not poured out until redemption was wrought by Jesus' death and resurrection. The wisdom of the Holy Spirit bestowed upon the bride of Christ is expressed in these rich words. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Song of Solomon 1, verse 15 and 4, verse 1. Promises of the gift of the Holy Spirit. We read of repeated definite promises of the gift of the Holy Spirit. The first is in Proverbs 1, verse 23. I will pour out my Spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Then 200 years later, Joel utters the saying which has become well known of late, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Joel 2, verse 28. Then another 100 years, and Isaiah speaks for God, For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. Isaiah 44, verse 3. Finally, Ezekiel, still another 100 years later, and speaking especially of personal experience, says for God, I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Ezekiel 36, 27. There were then definite promises of a definite due time advent of the personal Holy Spirit, just as truly as there was a definite due time advent of Jesus. It is very important to see this clearly and hold it in mind, for he came once and only once. Our personal reception and experiences of the Holy Spirit are matters entirely different. We must look well to this truth. His coming from heaven was one fact, God's sovereign act. His coming into a believer is another fact, dependent upon the believer's faith act, the New Testament. The substance of the Old Testament shadows is found in the New Testament. The fulfillment of Old Testament promises is recorded in the New Testament. Accordingly, we find here a definite time, place, and manner of the coming of the blessed Holy Spirit. This record is profoundly interesting and important. John the Baptist foretold the Spirit's advent by saying that Jesus shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Matthew 3:11. Jesus himself, the last year of his ministry on earth, spoke at length of the coming of the Spirit. He called him the Comforter, and another Comforter, and the Spirit of Truth, John 15:26, 14:16, 15:26, 16:7, and 13. Jesus fully outlined his official operations on the earth. See John chapters 14 through 16. Then, after his resurrection, Jesus gave a final announcement of the coming of the Spirit. He said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Luke 24:49. "Wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Acts 1 verses 4, 5, and 8. Then Jesus was parted from his disciples and taken up into heaven. But for this promise of the Father about the coming of the other Comforter, they would have been sad indeed. They worshipped him, acknowledged his deity, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Luke 24 verses 52 and 53. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 2 verse 4. With most believers, that is simple history. With many, it is not even that much. But with him who really believes it from the heart, it is reality, living and powerful. Pentecost was not only history, but prophecy as well. They began to speak. It not only brought an experience to the 120, it provided a like experience for all who believe. All have been given to drink. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. There is an unfolding of the divine arrangement which we need to see clearly. It will help us to grasp the fullness of our own privileges in Christ and to effectually meet the gainsayers. To whom is the promise? It is very important to note that the promise of the Father and its fulfillment were wholly to Israel. Mark such words as these, "Ye men of Israel," Acts 2:22, 3:12, and 5:35. "And let all the house of Israel know assuredly," Acts 2, verse 36. "Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed." Acts 3, verses 24 and 25. In words of flame, after relating God's dealings with his people from Abraham down, Stephen exclaimed, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers." Acts 7, verses 51 and 52. The entire book of Acts is a record of God's dealings with Israel after the descent of the Holy Spirit. Search it out for yourself. You can never understand the purpose, place, progress, and full power of the Holy Spirit if you do not see this basic truth. You may slip over it as of minor moment, but you slip over a vital part of God's will. When John the Baptist appeared before Israel, he announced Jesus as the bridegroom, saying, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled." John 3, verse 29. John's great joy was to hear the voice of Jesus as bridegroom, although he was not the bride, but only the friend of the bridegroom. Jesus called himself the bridegroom in Matthew 9, verse 15. Bear in mind that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16. He came to call Israel to himself and to invite guests to the wedding, but before the wedding could take place, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, must come to indwell and fill the bride even as he had done with the bridegroom. This is why Jesus' ministry was entirely to Israelites and why he said to his disciples, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Matthew 10, verses 5 and 6. Therefore Jesus came. For 30 years Jesus minutely fulfilled the law, proving himself worthy of the anointing prefigured and foreshadowed in the Old Testament. Then the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and he was filled with the Spirit. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Luke 3, verses 21 and 22, and Luke 4, verse 1. Under this anointing, he fulfilled his personal prophetic ministry of 3.5 years. He became Israel's Redeemer. He died, numbered with the transgressors, fulfilling the shadows of Leviticus. The priests and the 5 offerings all refer to him. He returned to heaven and continues his priestly ministry as intercessor in behalf of his people, Christ's successors. Now, to make good to his people and experience what his redemptive work has provided, and to continue his prophetic ministry here, he sent the Holy Spirit in the fullness of his wisdom and power to take out of them a people and equip them for Jesus' name, Acts 15, 14. Acts 2, verses 1 through 4 records the wondrous advent of the fulfillment of the promise of the Father to send the other Comforter. After the 120 disciples had been in prayer and praise for 10 days, he came and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 2, verse 4. Peter explains the purpose of this event to Israel by saying, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Acts 2, verses 36 through 38. As the 4 Gospels record what Jesus began both to do and teach, Acts 1, verse 1, through the power of the Spirit, so the book of Acts records what the apostles began to do and teach through the power of the same Holy Spirit. These events are history as well as examples and types for us. They are also astonishingly prophetic.